If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hi, friends. Well, I hope you're having a wonderful first week of April. It's starting to warm up here in Michigan, and I've had lots of nice long walks on beautiful sunny days, which I love so much this time of year and really crave. Eric actually groomed a bunch of the trails behind our house, and so now I have over a mile loop I can walk on our property, which I am so excited about. I do love to go to other places to walk. I have a couple of trails I like to go to pretty regularly and some sort of beach neighborhoods nearby that I like to walk. But I also really love just being able to open the door and go. And especially since I can also go walk in the woods, I am really excited about that. Maybe I will take my tea down there. I used to do that sometimes in the last house I lived in before Eric and I got married. There was this really pretty wooded area with a big stump where I could sit and have my tea, but I always wished there were some more trails back there. I just couldn't get in a nice long walk. I would run out of trail too fast. So here I can do both. So I am hoping to go find a little spot in these woods that is good for sitting and having my tea and then walking as well. And there is just so much happening outside. The birds are singing. Everything is starting to bloom. There's all this life happening just outside my window. And, you know, I've really been trying to orient my days so that I'm just online a lot less. And that's not always easy to do. But when I am able to pull it off, I can just see an immediate improvement in my energy and my stress levels and how much I sleep and how well I sleep and how good I feel about life. So spending more time not looking at a screen, not on social media, not even on my email, right? And spending as much time possible outdoors is a big priority for me this spring. Okay, the tea I'm drinking today is called Scottish Afternoon Tea, and I actually purchased it at the local tea house I've talked about a couple times on the show. I love to go there. It's in Niles, Michigan, which is about 45 minutes from my home, something like that. I'm thinking they probably sourced this tea from Harney & Sons just from researching it online, so I will link both ways to buy it. It's probably a little easier to buy it from Harney & Sons, but it's also great to support small local businesses, so I will give you the option. Now, Scottish breakfast tea is known for being very bracing and strong. It's a blend, but this blend is just a touch lighter. It still packs a punch, but I feel like I could drink it into the afternoon and not regret my choices, unlike some of the Scottish breakfast teas I've tried before. So this is a great tea to get me energized for a busy day of writing. On the day that I'm recording this, my book deadline is officially 2 months away. And of course, I have been working on the book for the past several months, but there has been a lot going on, disrupting my routines. Of course, there was a holiday in there. I just feel like I've gotten sort of derailed or disrupted more than I expected. And so today, I am committing to getting back to it and making it my main work priority. So for the next 2 months, you're probably going to get a mix of shorter solo episodes like this one, and some of my interviews from the archives mixed in, because I really need to be spending time focusing on writing. Okay, let's get into today's topic. I just returned from the Chicago area, northwest suburbs, where I have been for the last week helping my aunt. She's 78 and is getting ready to move to Florida. So this decision was made fairly quickly. She's been going through some health stuff and getting around started to get really hard for her. And my uncle lives in Naples, Florida, and he invited her to come stay with him. And she decided to say yes. So over the weekend, my siblings and some of our kids, we all sort of descended upon her to help pack up and clean and get things ready to sell the house. And then I ended up staying, and I stayed for another several days. So I stayed from Saturday to Sunday. So a little over a week. I left on Easter Sunday. And then my cousin took over on Easter Sunday. And then next week, another cousin's coming up. So we're all doing a bit of tag teaming right now to get Aunt Paula's life in the Midwest all wrapped up so she can go on this new adventure south. Now, growing up, my Aunt Paula was always sort of the glamorous aunt. She always lived in the Chicago area. When I was a little kid, she lived in the city. Later, they moved out to the suburbs, but she was a working actress for years. She's a member of both the SAG-AFTRA Union and Equity, which are actors' unions, and she was married to a master electrician who worked at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. That's my Uncle Jim. For a long time. And they always had this sort of artsy life with their artsy friends. And I was always, you know, from small towns and way up north in Michigan. And I just loved to go visit my Aunt Paula. She was just the coolest. She also introduced me to theater, especially musical theater, which has been a major part of my life. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willa Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. So when my Uncle Jim died about 20 years ago, Aunt Paula moved into a condo, and she's lived alone since then, well, with her rotating cast of little dogs. And there have been multiple holidays, even since then, that we've all crammed into her space with our toddlers and our babies and then bigger kids. And Aunt Paula didn't blink an eye. She didn't have kids of her own. She did have a stepson who is still a big part of her life and is like a cousin to us. But being surrounded by a huge family wasn't part of Aunt Paula's day-to-day life, but she was always game for opening up her house and letting us all just kind of hang out there. And this big, huge family we're talking about here with many, many children running around. Anyway, I have spent the last week with Aunt Paula, and it was actually mostly a really fun and pleasant time, but there was a lot of work. She's got to wrap up her entire life here. There's no plan to return, so that means she's got all these social engagements to plan so she can say goodbye to her friends that she's had for years or decades. She has to transfer her medical care to a new state. She's got to sell her house, and that in and of itself, as you know if you've ever done this, is a huge undertaking. And she's got to move to coordinate, and that means she's got to downsize and get rid of some stuff. And Aunt Paula is not a hoarder, not a collector. Her house really isn't very cluttered, but she's still a modern human. She's lived in the 20th and 21st centuries, and there is some stuff. There's some stuff to deal with. So, you know, this week was a lot of work. There was the mental work of trying to keep these logistics straight and the house showings and the doctor's appointments and all of that. There's the emotional work that is trying to help her deal with frustrations of technology mostly, knowing she wasn't feeling good a lot of the time, and then my sense of loss, having one of my elder relatives getting older and leaving the area. And then, of course, she's experiencing huge losses, and I was picking up on all those emotions as well. So that has all been a lot. And then, of course, there is physical work. Between walking her little dog and packing and cleaning and running errands and caretaking, I was on my feet a lot. I looked at my watch and I think I averaged more than 18,000 steps a day. And you know, here's the thing. I was glad to do it. And I think it was my responsibility to do it. And I want to talk about both of those things and how I think they go together. Because I know a lot of people my age, I'm in my mid-40s, are caught right in the middle of that sandwich generation and are dealing with really heavy caretaking loads. And I have so much compassion for that. Having had just a small taste of what that could look like with my aunt, it's not even my mom or my dad. My parents both died when I was young. My mom died when I was in my 20s, and my dad died when I was in my 30s. And neither of them had long, lingering illnesses. Their deaths were quite quick and unexpected. And that brings with it another kind of drama and trauma and mess, honestly. In both cases, my siblings and I, so we had really, really little kids, and we were young and didn't have money. We were all very career focused at the time. So not only were we dealing with the losses of our parents, but we really had to rally to make decisions and funeral arrangements and to help take care of those possessions and money and estate stuff after their deaths. But what we didn't have was that long caretaking period. And I know so many people my age or a little bit younger or a little bit older are dealing with that slower decline, that longer period. I do wish I'd had more time, obviously, with each of my parents. So that is always going to color the way I feel about that period of life. But I can also acknowledge how hard and taxing that long-term care has to be, especially if you also are raising kids at the time. So I get that. But there is something about this cultural conversation around aging that has been bothering me. I've talked to a lot of people who seem to be kind of orienting their approach to living their lives, and especially now in midlife when we start dealing with, you know, the knowledge of our own eventual mortality. They're like organizing everything around this idea that somehow we can avoid or should avoid burdening anyone else when we're old. And, you know, first of all, I don't actually think that's possible. And second, I don't think it's desirable.
Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Let's just start with the concept of stuff to begin with. So my siblings and cousins and I, we are definitely fortunate that Aunt Paula is pretty tidy. And she doesn't have like a ridiculous amount of stuff. But I also hear about people who feel real guilt or anxiety about the idea that they might leave anything for their relatives to do when they're no longer able to do it. That means like packing anything up, taking care of anything. And, you know, that could happen rather suddenly because you die. It could happen in a more long-term way because you get ill. Or at some point, a lot of us will just find that we're not able to get around as easily as we used to. So I spent a few hours the other night bubble wrapping china and glassware that my Aunt Paula used to use when she would host parties and gatherings. And it made me think of this because, yeah, you could argue, and she kept saying, "I can't believe you're having to take care of this stuff for me. I haven't used it for years." But she did use it at one point. And maybe she was still using it 5 years ago or 3 years ago or a year ago. My point is that she didn't know when she'd stop using it. And she didn't know when she'd cross over the threshold from her being able to take care of it all on her own proactively to suddenly needing help. It happened fast. And I think it often happens faster than we know or just faster than we're prepared for in our day-to-day lives. And in the meantime, we still should all get to live in a way that feels rich and full and not just focusing on living the most minimalist version of our lives we possibly can because we're worried that at some point in the future, our kids or our nieces and nephews might have to step in and help out. No matter what, someone is going to have to take care of us and our stuff at some point, and we should step in and help each other out. So I just hope that one day when it's my kids packing up my tea sets, that they recognize the joy some of my belongings bring me now and why I might want them around me as long as possible. Now, I am not arguing for living a consumerist life, you know, surrounded by tons of stuff. Far from it. I think overconsumption is a real issue in our modern lives, and it has real implications on our world, on ourselves, and potentially on the people we love. So not into clutter. I'm not into hoarding. And yeah, my aunt could have done some kind of like Swedish death cleaning or something. But at the end of the day, she's been living the way she wants to live in the home she wanted to live in. And part of living the way she wanted to live included having some stuff around her. And I think it's okay that the work of dealing with that stuff fell to someone that's not her. There's not really a way to prepare completely away from ever needing help, whether it's dealing with your stuff or needing help getting to appointments or figuring out that technology, which, man, I feel like by the time I'm 78, I just don't want to have to deal with it at all. Or eventually your end-of-life care. I think there's become a tendency in our culture that I find a little unsettling where we think if we just save enough or invest correctly or keep ourselves in peak physical condition or buy the right insurance, all of those things, that we can somehow sidestep the fact that at some point we'll be dependent, or maybe we think we can just outsource it to other people. But whether it's people we pay or people in our own families, we will have needs. And sometimes those needs are, of course, too great for our families to handle. I know that that's true. And I have a ton of compassion for people in that situation. We might find ourselves in that situation with my aunt at some point, maybe soon. But for now, I do feel genuinely honored to be even just one piece of the puzzle to help her get what she needs. I sure wouldn't want her to feel bad or guilty that her family mobilized and stepped in, because I think that's what families should do. And I really hope and honestly expect that it's what the younger generation in my family will do. And I think that watching us middle generation folks step up is a great way to model the way people inside of families should care for one another. Also, I just want to say it was a great opportunity for all of us to get together in a space that has meant a lot to us over the years and go through old stuff, laugh over old photos and memories, have Aunt Paula tell us stories. I'm not sure we would have all kind of made the point to come at the same time if we didn't have a house to pack up and a bunch of stuff to deal with. And that created a ton of value for my siblings and I and our kids. And then for me, when I was there alone the rest of the week, that was super valuable too. In this life, we're all going to have times when we are the ones equipped to give and times when we are more equipped to receive. And sometimes we are able to do both at the same time. And I feel like last week, hanging out with my aunt and dealing with some stuff that was, yes, a little overwhelming and annoying at times, I gave a lot, but I got a lot too. And it really helped to confirm and validate for me that this is why we're here. This is what family is all about. And this is why humans need each other. That's all for this episode, friends. I'm going to get back to writing and then head out on my walk. Please head to theteasemade.com if you feel drawn to this conversation, because I am planning to write more about this experience sometime this week, and hopefully that post will be up by the time this episode goes live or shortly after. As a reminder, you can subscribe to my blog over at theteasemade.com, and you'll get a post or two from me a week that you can read in your email or on the Substack app. Plus, if you upgrade to a paid membership, you're going to get access to some exclusive content that you won't get anywhere else. So I hope to see you there. That's all for this episode of The Tease Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasemade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're enjoying the Tease Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Tease Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasemade.com.